Hey, we are in the second week of a sermon series called Breakthrough. Started last week, and I'm excited about this series because, as I've said, I know that typically every time we gather, there are folks that come that are in need of some kind of breakthrough. Folks that have been praying for a spiritual breakthrough, a financial breakthrough, a physical breakthrough, you name it, all sorts of breakthroughs. And breakthrough moments are those moments in life where we experience a sudden or significant advance. And there are these times in Scripture where we see that God is positioning people for a breakthrough. God delivers on these breakthrough moments. And there are some lessons, I believe, that we can learn from when we watch people on the verge of a breakthrough. And so last week, we looked at the issue of discernment, knowing what God is guiding us to do, knowing when to stay and when to go. And we talked about how discernment can shatter doubt when it comes to a breakthrough moment, when you begin to doubt the very character and presence of God. And as we do this breakthrough series, we're leading up to Christmas Eve, the ultimate breakthrough, where light breaks into darkness with the birth of Christ. I was in here this week with some of the kids from Explore and Grow, the preschool and daycare down the hall. And one of the little kids, one of the little pre-K students asked me, "What's up with all the lights on the stage, Pastor Kyle?" And I said, "You know, it's like Jesus said he's the light of the world that breaks into darkness." So you could think of every one of those lights as a symbol of Christ. Jesus is the reason for this season. There'll be a lot of gifts exchanged and parties and dinners and a lot of calories consumed, but ultimately, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that the reason we celebrate Christmas, the reason we can be joyful in this season, is just as the song said, hope came down. That was a major breakthrough. And so we're in anticipation of celebrating that at Christmas Eve. And so last week was about discernment. This week is about consecration. Consecration, an old school word. Consecration before the breakthrough. And this message taps into a mystery that's in Scripture and in life, because consecration has to do with pursuing this lifestyle of holiness. And this message and this whole topic raises the question that we should all wrestle with. What, if anything, does our behavior have to do with God delivering these breakthrough moments in our lives? And so we're going to be in two areas of Scripture this weekend. We're going to be in the book of Joshua in the Old Testament and Romans in the New Testament. And so if you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn along and to turn there and follow along. And if you don't have a Bible, get up and grab one. Don't be shy, because we want you to be able to follow along in the Word of God. So Joshua 3 and Romans 6. And before I dive in to Joshua 3, I'd like to pray. So would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for your Word. We're thankful for the way you speak through your Word. God, and we come hungry this morning to hear from you. Lord, we know that if you don't say anything, then nothing of importance will have been said. So prepare our hearts and minds, O Lord, to receive what you want to say by the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm asking, Lord, for a fresh anointing from you. I pray that my words would be your words, O God, and that you would lead us and guide us into all truth by the power of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the testimonies of your grace and mercy that we've already heard through the baptism stories and through the life story, Lord, that was shared. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to speak. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and change us from the inside out. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And everyone said, amen. Joshua 3 starts off this way. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. And after 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. And then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 2,000 cubits between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Remember the setting here. Last week, we talked about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea as they escaped bondage from Egypt. And you would think that after they crossed the Red Sea, they'd be going to the Promised Land. That's where they were going towards, but they didn't get there right away. They wandered in the wilderness for a while, 40 years, in fact. A generation of people died off, and ultimately, Moses was told that, "Moses, you can see the Promised Land, but you will not enter the Promised Land." And so when Moses died, his successor, Joshua stepped up, and we're told at the beginning of Joshua that Joshua was told by God to be strong and courageous. In fact, to be very strong and courageous, because he was going to lead God's people into the promised land. And the people said, we'll listen to you as long as you continue to listen to God like Moses did. And so here we find them on the verge of a breakthrough, standing on the edge of the Jordan River, ready to cross over into the promised land. And we're told that the Ark of the Covenant was there. This vessel carrying the very presence of God was there, and they were supposed to stay back from it because to come close to it, to touch it, would mean a death sentence. And here we find the Israelites on the verge of a major breakthrough. And we realize that God often uses crossroads in our lives to teach us powerful lessons. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. God often uses the crossroads in our lives to teach us powerful lessons. Okay, wait. I know you all can do better than that. I was at a conference yesterday. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Kyle? I was at a conference yesterday called Man to Man. It was hosted by Kingdom Life Ministries in the city. I was one of 8 speakers. I was the last speaker. And each speaker had 15 minutes to share what the Lord had put on their heart. And there was worship. And there was about 300 to 400 men there. Raucous crowd. People were shouting amen. They were boisterous. They were using their voices in worship. And it happened again. Like, I've spoke there the last 3 years. And when we were heading home, my youngest son, Matthew, I said, Matthew, what'd you learn from Man to Man? And he started listing some of the things that he learned. And then he said, but Dad, I realized, again, that you preach differently in that setting than you do at KCC. It's like, what do you mean? He said, you sound different. Like, you sound excited and inspired. And I said, well, I'm excited and inspired when I preach at KCC. I said, but the people aren't always as responsive verbally. So sometimes it's just feeding off of the enthusiasm of the congregation. So I'm going to try it again. God often teaches us powerful lessons when we are at a crossroads in our lives. I mean, like, some of you know that. You've been at crossroads before. You've seen God teach you lessons before. You know that in those moments, if you had tried to do it in your own strength, there's no way you would have experienced a breakthrough. But when God stepped in, you learned some powerful lessons about yourself and about the very character of God. Amen? You're getting there. Well, this could be good. So just the region, you can see a map of the Jordan River, and this river was important in the life of Israel. This region, this river is still important today. This area comes up again and again in Scripture. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River. This major crossing point as they prepare to go into the Promised Land happens across the Jordan River. A miracle is going to take place here at the Jordan River. Some of you have traveled there and you've been baptized in the Jordan River. And even today, that river remains a source of conflict in a region that is scarce when it comes to water resources. And so the Jordan River is a significant river in Scripture. And as the Israelites are preparing to cross it, look at what Joshua 3:5 says. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves.